May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the epistle today, Paul's letter to Philemon. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, come as your holy word is proclaimed and taught and heard among your people. Grant us repentance this day. Grant us faith, understanding. May we gladly hear your word and learn it today. May we ever hold it sacred in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you fill in the blank? Blessed are the blank, for they shall be called the sons of God. It is one of Jesus' beatitudes taught in Matthew chapter 5. You know what he's talking about? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those that make peace. That is the theme of the sermon today, making peace, being a son, a daughter of God in your life. That is the theme of the entire book of Philemon. Philemon is just one chapter long, a little bitty tiny book, some 20-some verses, yet a very practical, very important lesson about Christians making peace, reconciling. The business world may call it conflict resolution. It's very important to God. We all fight. We all sin. We all have bitterness. There's grudges. There's walls that we build up. Even in the church, even in our own families. What do we do about it? Are we peacemakers? I'm sure your manual at work has a big, thick book. It's a big, thick manual on how to resolve conflict. We have 21 verses here that teach us everything we need to know. From God's word, in this text, there are three things involved in making peace as Christians, reconciling with each other. There's number one, a fervent appeal. Number two, there's a face-to-face apology. And number three, there's full, free, fast absolution and forgiveness. And then there is peace, friend. Then we don't hold grudges and ignore each other and give each other the cold shoulder and act like there's peace when there's not really peace at all. What do we really want in our lives? First of all, you want to make peace? Then hear the fervent appeal of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul meant for you and I today. It's a fervent appeal to reconcile and make peace. It's very, very important to God. God has made peace with us. God doesn't just ignore us or give us a cold shoulder and walk away and say, oh, it's no big deal. God makes peace in His Son, and God expects Christians to make peace. Then we are truly sons of God. Let me explain the story a little bit. Paul went to Colossae, the town of Colossae. We get the book of Colossians that he writes to them. And there in the town of Colossae, Paul, we think, teaches and baptizes Philemon, whom he is writing to here. Philemon is a new convert to Christianity. He's been baptized, and probably also Onesimus. Onesimus is the slave of Philemon. So Philemon is a rich Christian there in Colossae, a leader of the church. And Onesimus, also mentioned, he is the slave of Philemon, also probably baptized, becomes a Christian. And yet sin has happened between these two men. Onesimus has stolen from Philemon. He's a slave, a servant. He's taken a large amount of money, probably, or stuff, and he's taken it from Philemon's home and ran off. He ran away. This is a crime, stealing. In Roman law, you could be arrested, obviously, thrown in jail, or even killed. This carries with it the death penalty also. And Onesimus runs to St. Paul. St. Paul is no longer in Colossae. Paul's hundreds of miles away in Rome under house arrest. And Onesimus runs that far away, we think. He runs far, far away. 2-3 weeks of travel to get away because he knows he's in trouble. He runs to St. Paul, who's a father in the faith to him. What's Paul going to do to the apostle? Paul doesn't want to throw him in jail. Paul doesn't want him killed. Paul wants there to be peace between Philemon and Onesimus, his runaway slave. And so Paul writes this letter to Philemon, and he's going to send Onesimus back to Philemon, hundreds of miles back, and carry the letter with him. And in this letter, the apostle is making a great appeal, a fervent appeal to Philemon to take him back and forgive him. Don't throw him in jail. Don't kill him. Don't mistreat him. Don't give him a cold shoulder. But forgive the man as your brother. Forgive him. Reconcile. Notice the apostle Paul does not order it. He says, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. What's required is to forgive him, take him back. Paul says, I can order you to do it. I order you and demand that you forgive him and take him back. Paul says, I'm not going to do that. You don't order forgiveness. You don't command for someone to forgive somebody. It doesn't work that way. Paul says, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. And then verse 10, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. A fervent appeal of the Holy Spirit through the apostle. Take him back, reconcile, make peace. And the basis of the appeal is love. Paul wants Philemon to think to the cross. Put your mind on the cross, Paul is saying to Philemon. You've been hurt. You've been damaged. Someone stole from you. You're angry. You want justice. You want revenge. You want all that stuff. Philemon, get your mind off all that stuff. Put your mind on the cross where your Lord died for you. And he died for Onesimus too. The love of God at the cross that overflows. God forgives you all your sins, Philemon. He forgives all Onesimus' sins. They're all washed away and forgiven. God loves you. And I appeal on the basis of that love at the cross that you love your brother. That you take him back as a brother and forgive him. The appeal on the basis of God's love. You're fighting with someone today. Someone has hurt you bad and you're angry, you're bitter. Look at the cross. And the Holy Spirit gives you a fervent appeal to your heart. Will you not forgive as God has forgiven you? For the sake of love, forgive. Take him back as a brother or sister. Do you want to be angry the rest of your life? You want to hold a grudge to your grave and die a bitter old person? Is that really what you want? Or do you want to be brother and sister again? You know, my beloved wife, Ann, likes these McDonald's frappes. Pat, is it frappe or frappy? I don't know what it is, but they're pretty good. And I go get her now and then a medium or a large. She usually likes the large McDonald's frappe caramel with the whipped cream and the drizzle on top. I don't get anything for myself. And so I bring this to her. And she sits it in the car sometimes. And I look over and what do I want? I want a sip. Honey, can I have a sip of your frappe? What's Ann's response? You don't need it. It's mine. You got it from me. You don't need it. How do I appeal to her? Do I demand her? I'm your husband, doggone it. I demand you give me a sip of the frappe. Does that work? Doesn't work. Men know that. Do I threaten her? Oh, you don't give me a sip, I'm not gonna cut the grass. I'm not going to do your to-do list. I'm not going to paint. I'm not going to do that stuff unless you give me a sip of the frappe. Does that work? Threats don't work with Ann either. Orders don't work. I appeal on the basis of how much wonderful treat she has in that cup. Honey, you have 20 ounces of that stuff. I just want a sip. One little sip? Okay, one little sip, and that's all you're going to get. You appeal, someone has a lot of something, can I have a little bit of it? And this is the appeal of St. Paul and the Holy Spirit. You have a lot of love, friend. God has forgiven you all your sins. Not half of them. Not one of them. All of them. And you can't give forgiveness to one person who hurt you? Or what kind of Christian are you? The fervent appeal of the Holy Spirit to forgive and make peace. And then secondly, involved in peacemaking is a face-to-face apology from the person who sinned. It's very, very important that Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. Philemon has ran off, again, hundreds of miles. And no doubt Onesimus has ran off hundreds of miles. And he probably wants to stay with St. Paul and just remain there with him. He probably didn't want to go back and face Philemon, who he stole from. And Paul's going to send him back. Paul says, I wish I could keep him because he's really a help to me. He's a good young man. And no doubt he's repented. But I'm going to send him back. Why does Paul want to send Onesimus back to Philemon? To apologize. You go to Philemon. I'm sure we can assume this in the text. Paul has said to Onesimus, you go back to him. It's going to take you 2-3 weeks, hundreds of miles. You go back to Philemon, your master, your brother in Christ. You look him in the face and you say, I am sorry. I have done you wrong. I stole from you. I hurt you. I sinned against you. And I am really, really sorry. Please forgive me and have mercy on me. Please. That's what Paul expects of Onesimus. And that's what the Holy Spirit expects from Christians when we hurt somebody. We're going to hurt people. But we don't run off and act like it's all going to be okay a little later. They'll get over it. We go face to face. We be a man. We be a woman. We be a Christian. And we go face to face and we humbly say, I'm sorry. I hurt you. I did you wrong. I've sinned. This is where often relationships break up right here. Because people are too proud to say, I'm sorry. They always want to blame the other person and excuse themselves. And I've had them right here in my office, and Pastor's had them in his office too. And they fight and bicker, and they always want to blame the other person or minimize what they've done. Just say it. Sometimes we probably tell people, just say you're sorry. Did you do anything wrong? Is it all the other person that did everything wrong, and you're holier than thou? Can you look in the mirror and say, I've sinned, and go to the person and tell them that? Or are you just too proud? No wonder why you fight so much. What do you want me to do about it as your pastor when you're so proud and you can't say the words? I can't say them for you. This is what we do with God, dear friend. You know, we can confess sins to God wherever we are. Confess in your prayers, at home, wherever. And know that God forgives you in Christ. You're forgiven because you have faith in Him. He forgives you. But there's something very important about coming right here to God's house and looking God in the eyeball in His very house and saying, God, I'm sorry. That's called confession. We just don't think the words. We say them. God, I'm a wretch, a poor, miserable sinner in one of our confessions. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And God, I am sorry. I have sinned. Not the other guy, but I've done it. Won't you forgive me? And that is so cleansing. Hope you agree with me. It's so cleansing for the soul, especially, of course, when you hear the absolution that you're forgiven. Confession's good for the soul, with God above all, but with your brothers and sisters too. You know, our kids when they were younger would get a stuffy head and be all stuffed up, all that mucus and junk all over. And what would they do? They want to sniff it up. And what would Ann and I say as parents? Blow it out. Don't sniff it up into your head. Blow it out. Here's this Kleenex. Blow the stuff out. Here's how you do it. We teach them how to blow it out. Cough it up. Spit it up. Get it out of you. You'll feel better. Even though it's kind of a nasty process. You know, confession of sin can be a nasty process. May not feel so good. But blow it out. Blow it out of your mouth. Get all that infection and yuck and guilt and sin out. Say it. To God and to each other, I've hurt you. I'm sorry. But most important of all, this is the great climax of reconciliation. This is what really makes it happen. The fast, full, free absolution, forgiveness of the person who's been hurt. And this is what Paul expects of Philemon. He appeals him, he expects it. Because Philemon's a Christian. Paul does not say to Philemon, look, I know he stole from you. Paul doesn't say, take some time. I know you're angry. Take a month or two. Take a few weeks and think about it. Work through your feelings. And maybe in a month or two, you'll be able to forgive him. None of that nonsense. We don't think about forgiving people. We do it. It's our job. It's our calling. It's what's in us as Christians. We forgive. Like we breathe air. We forgive people. We don't think about it. We just do it because we're of Christ. Because that's the way He is. It's fast forgiveness. Once Onesimus walks in the door, you go give him a hug. He's basically saying, you welcome him back, not as a slave. Don't treat him as a slave and say, look, pal, 6 months probation, go to the backyard and work in the manure pile for a while. Prove yourself for a while, and then maybe I'll think about forgiving you. There's no conditions. There's no, tell him, take your time, Philemon, think about it. Paul expects immediate forgiveness and full forgiveness right on the spot. This is what makes reconciliation work. Because this is how God treats you and I. We confessed our sins today, and never once has Pastor Roberts or I turned and said, God's going to think about it for a day. Come back tomorrow, we'll give you his answer whether he wants to forgive you or not. Maybe we should try that to teach him a lesson, teach us all a lesson. I need the lesson too, and so does Pastor. It's immediate. I forgive you all your sins in the name of my God. That's what God expects of you with your brother or sister. And it's full forgiveness. We don't say, well, half of your sins are forgiven, the really little ones, but the big ones God's going to hold against you until you prove yourself. The word all is in the absolution. I forgive you all your sins, all of them, all the horrible ones, the terrible ones. Yes, they're washed too in the blood of Christ. Full absolution is free. No conditions. We don't give a condition. If you do this, if you clean up your life and do this and this and this, then God might think about forgiving you. There's no conditions. It's you're forgiven of your sins. And you, the congregation, say what? Amen. And you ought to say it loud, congregation. This isn't a little weak amen. You've been forgiven by your God. You deserve hell and I do. And God forgives us our sins. We ought to shout what? Say it with me. Amen. May it be so. God forgives sins. And that ought to move us, compel us to go to our brother, our sister, our husband, our wife, our child, our parent, the co-worker, that we know there's friction and say, look, I'm sorry if I've sinned and I forgive you. It's over. Washed. Clean. We're one, brothers and sisters. Today's Booms Day. 20-some thousand fireworks going off. Fun day. Is tomorrow and Tuesday going to be Booms Day in a bad way? You going to lower the boom on somebody on Tuesday when you see them? I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to get revenge. Is it going to be Booms Day in your family? Fight, 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 back, forth, hit, hit, yell, yell, gossip, gossip, back, forth. I'll get them back worse than they got me. Boom here, bigger boom there, boom, boom, boom. It can be that way. And life's hell then, isn't it? It's not good. May these days be blessed days of confession, absolution, forgiveness in the home, in the church, the workplace, in the neighborhood. God's at peace with us. God's at peace with us. He forgives us our sins. No doubt about it. Now be at peace with each other. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Amen.